Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. Robert Bly is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Bob is a longtime member of our Brain Trust and the author of Foolproof Marketing, also the author of Magnetic Selling and the 5-disc CD set Internet Marketing Retirement Plan, one of the top marketing experts in our Brain Trust. He's our good friend Bob. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. It's always always good to have you here. Bob, one of the things that I talked about in a recent column that I wrote was what I called refusing to participate in a recession. And I've been talking about this on my show for some time now, that, you know, whether we're going to have a recession or not, whether they're technically they're going to define what we have or what we're going to have as a recession or not, really doesn't matter to me, because I'm going to be in business a year from now anyway. I'm going to be living through what's going on, and so really I've decided, and I did this the last time we had what some people said was going to be a recession. I just said, you know what, I'm not going to participate. I'm going to work a little harder and work a little smarter, do the things that I know are good fundamentals, and just not participate in this recession. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I would use the phrase not participating. I think you are participating, but you're being proactive about it. What I think you're saying is, you know, I can sort of, you know, go, you know, slink away and hide under the desk and wait till it blows over. But you're saying you're going to continue business, and what I'm saying is everyone should continue business. But however, they should acknowledge that the economy is soft, and they should make some changes in their process and in their operating procedures and in their activities that will allow their business to work better during the economic downturn.
Well, exactly. And I guess what I'm trying to get across is I'm not going to allow myself to get into the negative, woe is me kind of stuff, like you say, slink under the desk type of thing. I'm going to take this thing, I'm going to meet this thing head on. And I like the report that you published and on how to deal with a challenging economy. So let's go over some of these strategies that you've got. Give us the first one.
Well, the first one in the report is to reactivate dormant accounts. When you're very busy and you're flush and you're in a bull stock market and you're in a rising economy, you usually have more business than you can handle, and so you work, you service a client or customer, they go away, and you go on to the next one. We all know that the easiest and cheapest way to get new business is to market and sell more stuff to existing clients,
right?
But most of us don't do that. So now, if you're in a recession and suddenly you see your lead pipeline is drying up a little and your book of business is shrinking, rather than just go out and cold call or take out an expensive newspaper ad, just, you know, get on the phone or get on the email or you know, send out a paper letter or a postcard to your dormant accounts. And, you know, I define it
or go call on them.
Yeah, you can go call on them, you can visit them, you know, any one of those four methods. But, you know, get in touch with them, and you know, don't necessarily call them to say, hey, things are slow, I need business. That's you centered. But, you know,
right,
call them. Let's say you're an online marketing consultant, you know, call one of them and say, hey, you know, we haven't spoken in a while. I'm calling to see if we can have a conversation about some new ways for me to drive traffic to that site I put up with you for you 2 years ago.
Right. Or just call them and say, how are things going? What can I do to help you?
Yeah.
That one question, Bob, is maybe the most powerful question that anybody can ask a customer. What can I do to help you?
Yeah, interesting. A sales trainer, I wrote that in one of my e-newsletters, and a sales trainer said, oh, that's a terrible question. You should never in a retail setting walk up to the customer and say, can I help you? It's off-putting. I said, that's not the question. It's not can
that's right.
I help you.
That's
it's
right.
How can I help you? And that
exactly.
one word makes it hugely different.
That's exactly right. You know, another thing, and I've said this on the show many times before, I heard an executive of a national trade group say one time that if his members would only focus on the requirements, the needs, the wants of the people that they already knew, their existing customers, if they would just focus on those requirements and not try to get any new business from any new customers, he said he believed that they could have all the business they could eat for 5 years.
I think he's pretty accurate. I mean, like in the internet marketing field where I'm very active, everyone's obsessed with building large lists, and there is some wisdom to that. But I met a guy who basically said he has a tiny list of 3,800 people, but he knows them and serves them to a degree, and they spend, like, per name on the list, he told me, 100 times more than the average internet customer. And
yeah.
he's a multimillionaire from that list of 3,800 names.
Well, and let's take a lesson from McDonald's and Walmart. I mean, McDonald's has already got people coming in there, but they're buying a you know, maybe a hamburger from them, and then going across the street and buying a $5 cup of coffee from Starbucks. So McDonald's is saying, wait a minute, why don't we serve them a really nice cup of coffee?
What's ironic is, in my opinion, that our McDonald's coffee actually is very good, and Starbucks is reacting. I don't know if you saw this. They're going to offer a $1 cup of coffee with unlimited refills.
I hadn't seen that.
It was in the paper the other day.
That's funny. Another strategy that you have, but we're not going to get to all these, is reactivating old leads. These are people that you haven't done business with before, right?
Right. I mean, everyone listening to this knows you get, let's say you do a promotion and you get 10 leads. You're only going to close 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 of them. If you close 5, that's amazing. So you have 5 to 8 of those people who were very, very interested. They you talked to them, but for some reason they didn't buy. That's your second best lead. Your best list. Your best list is people who actually are your past customers. Your second
right.
best list to go back is people who were almost your customers.
They know you. They know who you are, and when you call them or call on them, you won't be somebody that's unknown to them.
And they have already expressed interest in the type of product or service you sell. Now, some of them may no longer have that need, but many of them still will.
I've called on people like that, Bob, in a program like you're talking about, and it's amazing how many of them will said to me, I'm glad you came by.
Yeah, or they'll say,
it happens.
You know what, it's funny, I was thinking of calling you. It's
exactly.
Sort of that, you know,
it
that law of attraction type thing.
It happens, folks. 20 after. We're going to be right back with our good friend Bob Bly right after these messages. Stay with us.
I said, Dr. Doctor, Mr. MD, Doctor, now can you tell me?
Jim, this is Jerry Detweiler from BusinessCreditSuccess.com. Congratulations on your 10th anniversary. What an accomplishment. And I am looking forward to 10, 20, who knows how many more years. Congratulations and keep up the great work.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. And my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. And askjim.biz. The first one is where you can find the show and all the different ways you can listen to the show, including podcasts. And, of course, we also have thousands of archives of the shows that we've collected and have preserved in a library for you all the way back to 99, every topic under the sun, including the ones we're doing today. And then, of course, we got our Brain Trust members like our good friend Bob Bly, who's with us right now. Also articles, thousands of articles. And our newsletter is there, which comes on Sunday afternoon by email, gets you ready for the week ahead. And then our blog, which we update every weekday. And then our knowledge base is askjim.biz. That's where you can get small business answers now. So check those out. Use them to your advantage. No barrier to entry. Just show up and we'll let you hang out with us. Bob and Bly and I are talking, folks, about his recession-proof business strategies. Bob number 4 is one of those duh things. that really is, it ought to be duh, but unfortunately for too many small businesses it's not, and that's giving superior levels of service for your customers. If there ever was a time when you need to love up your customers, now is that time, isn't it?
Well, on a lot of businesses, say like in my area of the country, New Jersey, contractors, usually the demand outweighs the supply. So these guys often don't treat their customers well. You would say you should anyway, but they don't. They're very standoffish and difficult. And the problem is, in a recession, when people say suddenly I can't afford to build a new house or put on a second floor, these guys are looking for work. It happened in the last recession. It's happening now here. And they sort of regret that behavior because now the customer's in the driver's seat. So you really should give superior service and all the time, but especially during a recession, you want to overserve the customer so they'll keep buying from you and giving you work because it gets more competitive. And if you don't do that, your competitors will.
One of the ways you can find out if a contractor needs business is he actually returns your call, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good rule of thumb, and often during the busy times they don't. And I remember during the last recession we got a quote from one of our contractors for a job, and we weren't sure we were going to do it. He called us, six times. Obviously, he really needed the work.
Right. As I say, the service level, there's no excuse for a small business owner not to provide outstanding service all the time, Bob, because really that's the only way we can differentiate ourselves, isn't it?
Well, you say there's no excuse, but the fact is they do it. I wouldn't say it's the only way you can differentiate yourself. I have a list of actual ways that you can differentiate yourself. One of them certainly is providing superior service, but there are a few others. For example, one of the ways you can differentiate yourself is to specialize in a smaller niche where there's less competition. That's another way to do it.
Well, I agree, but I kind of associate that with service. But you're exactly right, and not trying to be all things to all people. Let's talk about our pricing. You know, for the last few years, Bob, we've been able to, we've had some opportunity to have a little bit of pricing power in small business. We've been able to raise our prices a little bit, and it's reflected somewhat in the inflation levels. But maybe, what do you think about 2008? Is this a year when maybe we ought to be a little more, a little less bold in our pricing?
Well, studies show that more modern recessions, and whether we're actually in a recession technically or not doesn't matter. It's behaving and it feels like a recession. More modern recessions last around 12 months, 12 to 14 months. In the past, they used to last much longer. And therefore, for 2008, because it's sort of just begun, I would roll back my prices. I wouldn't make any kind of announcement, but I tell people you probably want to look at your prices and be more flexible in your pricing and quote very reasonable, affordable fees and prices to your prospects, especially in situations where you know it's a bid situation. And if you're looking for a rule of thumb on pricing, probably you're looking for your prices to be 10 to 15% lower than they were at their peak.
One of the things that I recommend on pricing, Bob, is not that you lower your prices, but that you deliver more for the money that they were already paying you. That way, your cash flow.
I would agree, but I would modify it. Another good strategy is to offer. You've heard this one. Sort of three levels of choice: silver, gold, platinum. Good, better, best. So there is. You can say, well, you can have this package, which is our premium package, and has what you're talking about, Jim, all that extra service and value, and it costs this much. There's a medium cert level, and then at the bottom, you do have a package that is your bare bones and costs less, but comes with less stuff. That way, there's a perception that you do offer value, but they have to pay for it. And when you do that, offer good, better, best, the majority of people will end up choosing the middle package.
Well, and if you try to imagine, one of the things you can do is you can sort of say, okay, in 6 months from now, if business is really slow, what would I really be willing to take for this? And then, establish that price. Look at the price that you're charging now and offer your new customer somewhere in the middle of that.
Yeah, that would make sense. Absolutely.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just agreeing with you. That's all.
But folks, let's not do though. Let's don't panic. And you've heard me say this before. Quit listening to the talking heads on television about what the economy's about, what Wall Street's doing. The key to your success is, as Bob is talking about right now, is talk to your customers. That's how you're going to get a reading on how the economy is going in your world. Talk to your customers. 29 after. Bob's going to stay with us one more segment, and we're going to continue to talk about some recession-proof business strategies from Bob Bly. I'm Jim Blessingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The small business advocate, Jim Blessingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. My pleasure, as always. We got still visiting with our good friend Robert Bly. Bob is a longtime member of our Brain Trust and a very valued member at that, one of the world's experts on marketing, especially internet marketing. Bob, give us your website and tell us where we can find your stuff.
The best way to tap into me is to go to www.bly.com/reports. If you do that, you can sign up to my list and get my the direct response letter, my online newsletter, and you also get a library of four of our marketing reports that we sell on the site for $116, absolutely free.
Bly.com/reports.
/reports.
All right, and then you're going to send them what now?
They're going to get a library of four of my marketing reports. It's over 200 pages of material that we normally sell for $116 on the site.
And just because they know me and you together, they're going to get that for free.
Yes, they're going to get that for free.
Outstanding. Thank you very much for that.
My
folks,
pleasure.
See how hard I work to get you free stuff? So please take advantage of that. Bly.com/reports and tell Bob that you heard about it on the show. Bob, we're talking about some of your recession-proof business strategies. One of the things you talk about is what you call the low-cost add-ons to generate additional revenue. What is that?
Simple example. I hired a guy to renovate a house I just bought, a weekend vacation home. So I wanted him to redo the bathrooms and the kitchen and a few other things. So we had to go to the basement so he could find the water. And he looked around and he goes, you know, this basement is really nice, and it slopes down. It looks, it probably looks over the lake, but there were no windows in it. And he pulled some of the paneling up off, and there was a window overlooking the lake. He said, you should finish it and put your office here. And I said, give me a quote, Keith. And he just made an extra $8,000.
Yeah.
That's a low-cost add-on. I say low-cost in relationship to the entire job, which cost over $50,000.
Well, can you find out about his report? I'd like to have him on the show and read his report on how to do this, Bob.
I'll see if he has one.
Yeah, check it.
He's too busy finishing my house right now.
But that's exactly right. I mean, look around at things. I mean, when things are going well, we're sort of picking up the easy stuff, right? But I mean, this is a time when you want to make sure you pick up bend over and pick up the penny. Don't just pick up the dimes.
Or to use a metaphor in a different direction, reach for the fruit that is not so low hanging.
Exactly. I love this one, Bob. Talk to us about the prima donna thing. You say avoid being a prima donna. Who can be a prima donna these days?
Well, you see it all the time. It's more prevalent in certain professions. I've hired a lot of web designers who are prima donnas. You ask them to design the website, and you want to change the design, and you certainly sense a chill in the room, and they don't like the fact that you're messing with their design, and then you have to waste your time explaining why. I understand your design principles, but this is what I want, and I'm the client. And, I think in a down economy, you can't afford that because people have more choices. There are more vendors going after your clients, trying to get their business. And if you're difficult, they will go elsewhere. So the loyalty will be reduced, and you should do the opposite. You should make them love you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I completely agree with that. I don't see how anybody can be a prima donna these days. And the truth is, Bob, I try to treat my customers the same all the time.
Well, you say that, and I believe you, but many people, I'm sure you've experienced it, are prima donnas. Many people, whether employees or vendors, are difficult and not always nice. I mean, certainly you've had that going. It's like when you walk into a department store and you're trying to pay for your shirt and they're having a phone call and they look like, and they look at you like you're annoying them.
Bob, small business owners have such an incredible opportunity to differentiate themselves by the level of service that they provide. If people, at least once a month, somebody doesn't say to me, wow, this is great service. Thank you for the great service. I feel like we're backing up. I feel like we're not doing a good enough job. I think we have an opportunity, in my opinion, to be so different from a lot of the stuff that's out there all you got to do is just love your customers up just a little bit, and you'll shine like a new penny, won't you?
Well, the other advantage we have is that we're, you've heard this term, we're nimble. In other words, you and I can get an idea today, and by 11 o'clock this morning, we'll have done it. If you work in a big corporation, that would take 14 committee meetings and 3 months.
Absolutely. Bob, can they find your report on your website, this report we've been working off of?
It's not up there now, but if they subscribe to my e-newsletter, it will be announced we are going to put up a site to offer this report for free.
Okay.
And they subscribe to my newsletter at bly.com/reports, and we'll announce it when it's ready.
Check it out when you get a chance, folks. Hey, Bob, thanks for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure.
As always, we'll see you next time.
Thanks, sir.
Quick break. Right back after these messages with our good friend Gail Goodman. We're going to talk about love.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.